Can we talk iPads first up?
Yep.
Because the new one's been released.
Yes, and that's what it's called, the new iPad.
It's not a number?
It's not the iPad 3. It's just that iPad, or that new iPad.
So the next one will be the next iPad?
I've no idea. But this is the first of the third generation tablet computers.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Okay, so 3G iPad.
It was actually meant to be a 4G iPad, except for, and they're advertising it as 4G in Australia, except for it won't work.
Right, okay.
It's the wrong frequency.
So it won't work on the 4G system.
Won't work on Telstra's 4G network.
And it's a third generation iPad.
Yes.
Not a 3G.
So they're advertising it as having 4G internet capability on the models with the built-in 3G.
But it won't
4G
work.
Mode. But it won't work on the 4G network.
So you have to get a little dongle
thing. Won't work because it hasn't got a USB port. So it will work on the existing 3G network.
Yep.
And it's also dual band capable. So if your carrier is dual band capable, you can actually get a very, very fast download speed of theoretically up to 43 megabits per second.
What does that mean, dual band?
Well, it means that it can operate on two frequencies simultaneously and download data on both frequencies simultaneously.
The same data?
Well, effectively doubles the download speed.
Yeah, all right.
So if your carrier supports it and if you have good enough reception, you get very, very fast connection speeds, but it's not using the LTE wireless technology, which is the 4G wireless.
Right, okay.
So if you're thinking, oh, I'm going to rush out and buy a new tablet because it's got 4G mobile technology, it'll only work if you're in the States and only if you pick the right carrier when you're in the States.
Ah, okay. All right. Is it substantially different to current iPads in other ways?
If you have it side by side, an iPad 2 and you know, the iPad 3 side by side, you can't tell the difference.
At all?
Not my very... The
what if
new
you had
one,
it next to a Samsung?
If you had it, oh, then, you know, Samsung and iPad, you know, written across it, it's a bit easier.
Yeah.
But the new one is 0.6 of a millimetre thicker, and it's also 50 grams heavier. And the main reason for that is they've whacked in a bigger battery, so you get 10 hours battery life out of it.
That's pretty good.
And they've increased the screen... they've doubled the screen resolution on it. So it's now actually a higher resolution than what you get in your high-definition televisions. Just looking at here, it's 1,500 and... where is it now?
This is to do
with the 2048 pixels by 1536 pixels. So it's a very, very high resolution screen.
Mm.
A little bit of confusion about the processor there in it. But a lot of people are quite, and it took me a while to figure out what was actually happening when I was reading about it this morning. A lot of people are quoting it as a quad core processor, but it isn't. It's a dual core processor and a quad core GPU or graphics processor.
Right, okay.
The processors in them are basically identical to the ones that are in the iPad 2. So it's not going to be significantly faster than the previous one anyway. So the main difference that you're getting with the new one, higher resolution screen, and they've improved the quality of the rear video camera on the back of it, so you can film with it at 5 megapixels.
So you can hold it up like a plank and sort of look at that as a screen.
Exactly, and zoom it around that way,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. When you talk about the speed and everything, what sort of difference in speed are we talking about? Are we talking about milliseconds or are we talking about seconds, things that we can actually process ourselves and notice?
Look, in terms of the processing, it's going to be a little bit faster. They have improved the processor. They haven't left it the same. The graphics processing is interesting in the fact that they've doubled the speed. They've made the graphics processor is very, very similar to the one that's in the iPad 2, but the actual technology in it, you can just add more cores, and you get a doubling of speed for every doubling of cores. So they've gone from 2 cores in the iPad 2 to 4 cores in the iPad 3. But the interesting thing is, when they've increased the screen resolution on the new one, it's actually quadrupled the number of pixels that appear, but they've only doubled the speed of the GPU.
Right, okay.
So theoretically, even though there's got quite a lot faster graphics processor in it, it might actually be slower on really graphic-intensive processes that you're doing on the iPad. That being said, you're unlikely to really do anything that's going to be that graphics-intensive to really slow it down to a grinding halt.
Okay.
So it'll still play full high-definition movies and significantly better than the previous one. But it's still a device that's for content use and not content generation. And this has always been the issue with all tablets, is that, you know, I've got one sitting next to me with my notes on it, and it's fantastic for that, but I certainly didn't create the notes on it. I use my PC in the office to actually
create them. All right. 'Cause, well, see, when you say it's great for playing high-definition movies and that sort of stuff, I'm assuming those movies aren't on a USB drive or on a disc, because it doesn't have either.
No, you have to convert them on your PC and then transfer them onto the iPad.
Yeah. And how long does that take to do?
That depends on the speed of your processor in your PC. So if you've got a high-end solution, maybe 20 minutes for every hour of video. So, and if you've got an older computer, it could be an hour of compressing for every hour of video, or even 2 hours of compressing for every hour of video. Mm. So it's a bit of a laborious process. If you download movies directly off the internet that are designed for video, you just download it and play them, and then they go.
And then they go fine.
That's right.
Okay.
The other issue that I have with the iPad is they still have that no USB port, which is still an issue, and no SD card slot.
Right.
So you can't even add additional memory to the iPad. The one you buy is the one you have to live with. So you want to be fairly careful about the size of the built-in memory.
Has anyone asked them why they haven't done that? Do they not own the rights to put it in, or do they not want to? Is it a matter of trying to tie up the iPad to their computer system so that you have to own both?
I think it's partly that. And also Apple are very rigid about what gets plugged in, and they lose control if you can start using aftermarket devices in it.
Yeah.
And I know an SD card is probably not that difficult to maintain the quality control on, but I think that's one of the issues that they have. And to be honest, I can't answer the question with any more accuracy than that. I think it's a bit strange. I love mine. I can just stick in. If I need more space, I can just go out and buy an SD card and stick it in and transfer stuff over, and away you go.
I've noticed as well, for iPads in particular, a lot of retailers are making sort of a cradle and then with a keyboard and stuff, which is the advantage of yours, that it actually comes and you click in a keyboard and you've got basically a netbook type computer. The new iPad 2, it's iPad 3. The iPad, which is not numbered, it works all with those and all that sort of stuff. There's no compatibility issues there at all?
To be honest, I haven't read anything that there are compatibility issues, so I'm assuming it's got the same adapter port on the bottom of the tablet to plug into all the existing iPad 2 devices. The only issue that might be is that it is that 0.6 of a millimetre thicker. So if the cradles are specifically built with a fairly tight tolerance, and may not go in.
Yeah, okay.
So there's going to be a whole rush of new devices that you have to buy as well.
Yeah. And are those cradles made by Apple, or are they mostly aftermarket?
Both. There's a lot of aftermarket ones. Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting, given, because it is, as you said, a viewer rather than a creator of stuff, of content, as it's called these days. And I can see the advantage in if you're travelling around a lot, but I see a lot of people who have them now instead of a computer, and I kind of wonder why still. My sister's got one, and the kids love it. As a result, James expects one for his birthday this year, which just isn't going to happen. And in that regard, my sister's often moving around, so she has a need, a business need, as well as a personal need. But I don't know. I still look at them and I think, well, netbook.
Yeah,
will do me fine because it's got the USB and all the other bits and pieces.
Exactly. And that's my personal view as well. They're fantastic for doing little things. Like, I'll sit with mine and I'll read e-books and stuff like that. I also use it when I'm in the lounge room just to check my email, make sure nothing important come through, which saves me having to walk out to the office and turn the computer on.
Yeah.
But if it's a long email, I'll need to type, I walk out to the office and turn the computer on.
And sit there and type it. Rather than on the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We gave one at exactly the same tablet to my dad for his birthday last year, and he uses it for a lot of stuff. But most of it is still the use of content. He looks up stuff on the internet, he plays music, he's got his wireless connection around the house. So he uses it a lot more than I do actually these days, but it's still not generating content. It's reading and watching and listening.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's interesting. I mean, I think the one that you've got is the best of both worlds. Clearly for what I tend to want to do. But if people have got iPads or tablets in general and you love them and you don't need one but you prefer the iPad, I'd be interested to hear from you this morning. 1300 303 468. We've only got 6 minutes left. So,
or if you've got a tablet and no computer, how do you survive?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I don't see how you can, but it would be interesting to hear from someone who is.
Yeah, because you have to sync it and all that sort of stuff.
Well,
with computers?
Not necessarily, if you do everything on the tablet.
Yeah, okay. Couple of questions have come in. One relates, everything's I this and I that. Updating an iPhone to iOS 5 software, is there a chance of losing data when you upgrade this?
When you do that, it will probably wipe everything on the phone.
Right, okay.
So you'd want to make sure that you've got a backup copy of everything.
All right. How do you do that on a phone? Do you sync it with the computer?
Just sync
again?
It with the computer, probably. Okay. Make sure all the photos and stuff like that.
Dennis and Wendaree called in and said, Scott, have you seen the NBN rollout map for Ballarat? And if so, what do you think of it?
The only one I've actually specifically looked at is the wireless one, and that was from last year, middle of last year. I haven't seen the NBN rollout map for Ballarat as it pertains to the announced fibre rollout for central Ballarat. So
right,
I can't actually say it's going to this street and it's stopping at that boundary. So no. But a lot of that information is on their website though, and you can look up the maps and things like that.
Mm. So, naturally enough, they will start centrally because that's where the cables are going to come into the city. The fibre will come in and then they'll just expand out through the city is the way you understand it?
Well, from what I've heard, central Ballarat, and that's what I've just heard as being described as central Ballarat, will be getting fibre being rolled out this year with the expectation of effectively this time next year, those in that fibre footprint being able to connect up. So hopefully ABC can get a faster internet connection by next year.
Yeah, but we'd have to pay for it.
Well, and, theoretically, it should be the same. It should be less than the ISDN that you're paying for now.
Yeah, well, theoretically. That would, of course, take more of your tax dollars, Scott.
I've said, watching it, I'm happy to spend my tax dollars improving your internet.
Yeah, you've seen how slow it is here at times. And it depends very much, like other things, it depends very much on the time of day. You can almost plot with us when everyone's coming to work at about that 8:30 mark and suddenly everything goes slow as people around the ABC network start logging on.
While we're waiting for that to come out, there's been a lot of stuff about Kony.
Oh, yeah.
2012.
Now, you sent on this, how many people have looked at this
well,
now?
I actually watched the full video last week.
Yep.
And there was 40 million something views of the video.
You were late.
Checked it this morning, 73 million views of the video. So if you haven't actually watched the video, it's can be a bit confronting in places, but it's very, very interesting. And what I found so interesting about it is the use of social media, not for a goal like overthrowing a government like we've seen in the Middle East last year or raising money for famine relief and things like that. This is the goal of worldwide people confronting a single person.
Yeah, raising the awareness and getting
trying to get him arrested.